Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wally Fan Commentary. This is Mitch.
Hi, I'm Lizagal.
And I'm Peter, also known as Quicks Next to Me. In order to synchronize your DVD with this commentary, put the DVD in your computer and press play, and pause it when Luxo Jr. appears in the Pixar logo. And when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
Well, hello everyone once again, and welcome to the Wally Fan Commentary. This is Mitch speaking, and we also have in attendance with us Lizard Girl and Peter. And this is Pixar's 10th film, I believe, in the series, directed by Andrew Stanton and produced by, see if I get this right, Jim Morris, was it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. I have to say, this is my favourite opening of any Pixar film, really. Just the way it kind of zooms in really takes you in there, doesn't it?
It does. It's very dramatic out of all of their other films. It has a very deep tone to it and definitely sets the style of Andrew Stanton's films in particular.
I love that sort of really dramatic irony as well. The whole kind of, you know, having that really cheerful song. Obviously, put on your Sunday clothes. In contrast with these, you know, horrible images in a way, it's something quite...
It is. It's very contradictory, but it does kind of fit the personality of the character. I believe Andrew Stanton actually said that he always had the idea of playing a 30s or 40s type music at the beginning of the film for some odd reason. He just always had that in his mind. And... I believe he actually was, he actually starred in the Hello Dolly play when he was younger. He played as Barnaby. And I guess at one point he was just looking through movies and he came upon Hello Dolly. And he listened to the songs in there and they just seemed to fit the theme of the film, the theme of Wally perfectly. And it just ties into the movie so beautifully as you can see in the end result. That little cockroach's name is Hal, for anyone who's wondering. Reference to 2001, A Space Odyssey, obviously.
Obviously, this is where the really sort of haunting soundtrack comes in. You know, I love Thomas Newman's work. It's just, it suits the film so well. Really creates the atmosphere.
It was very beautiful. It was very, like you said, very haunting at first, but it just progresses throughout the film. The tone of the music really captivated me, and I think all audiences who watch this film. Just, I think Thomas Newman and Andrew Stanton have a connection where they just really know what they want in terms of music. And, you know, as you can see in the end result, it's just very beautiful. Some of those pieces in there, they just kind of blew me away, particularly Define Dancing.
I think this is something that's been discussed quite a lot over at Pixar Planet about whether sort of cannibalism like that, sort of using parts of another robot, is kind of acceptable in Wally's mind. But it's quite a strange way of thinking about it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it kind of is. I guess that's what he had to do, though, to survive, because otherwise he would have just broken down after a certain number of years. So what was everyone's first impression upon first seeing the first 20 or 30 minutes of the film? Were you captivated right away, or were you a little bit skeptical and didn't think that Pixar nailed it, or what did you think?
I read somewhere that it's impressive that people want more of the first part of the film and think that the second part of the film wasn't really as good as the first, and people wanted more of the silent film.
That's interesting. I do kind of share those views, actually. I love the first part of it, and the second part, you know, is the whole film is beautiful, but I do like all the pantomime in it more than anything. So what about you, Lizard Girl?
I think the whole kind of idea of, you know, not having anybody sort of speaking any voices like that for so long, it was really something amazing. When I first heard that Pixar were going to probably go down that route, I wasn't sure if it was going to work completely. I wasn't sure if kids were actually going to be entertained by, nothing really. I thought I couldn't see how anything could really be happening that could be as interesting as, you know, two people speaking. But Pixar put me wrong completely. it's something incredible, because every single time I watch, like, the first, I don't know, about 10 minutes, first time, whenever, you know, Wally puts in the little video, it makes me cry every time. So. I think it's also Ben Burtt's work that really makes the first sort of 30 minutes of the film shine as much as they do, because without all those little sort of squeaks and nuances in the sound, it just wouldn't be the same, would it, really?
No, Ben Burtt did an absolutely marvelous job, and to be honest, I cannot believe how he did not receive an Oscar at all this year.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
I think some of those cockroach clicks from HAL there, apparently they were made by using the sound of handcuffs. And
oh, really?
Also, like, the squeaks of HAL is just a sped up raccoon.
That's funny, I didn't know that. That shot back there of Wally staring at the screen, that's my favorite shot in the whole movie, where you just see his eyes. I love that part.
I never really understood what he was doing there, actually. I have to admit, the bit where Wally's banging the his little box thing.
Oh, he's just getting
really
the dirt.
Really? Is that all it is?
Yeah, he's just getting the dirt out of his box.
See, I've never seen those things before. What are they called? The little
Oh, the
biscuit spongy things? No, the thing that Hal just went into. What are they called?
Oh, the Twinkies.
Yeah, I've always wanted to try one.
They're delicious.
Just after watching Wally.
In the Andrew Stanton commentary in this Wally DVD, I think at this part, actually, Andrew Stanton mentioned that for every item that you see there in the truck, there's probably more than 20 others, maybe 25 to 30 other items that are in there that you don't even see. So that's proof right there that Pixar really pays attention to detail. Even stuff you don't even see, they put it in there anyway just to make the film all that more authentic.
I think that was the Apple Mac power-up noise. There's obviously lots of different sort of Apple references in Wall-E because of the connection between Pixar and Apple, you know, obviously with Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was kind of fun to see how many people actually got that in-joke. We were able to see the Wall-E in the theaters. And not that many people laughed at that when I first went. I think it was just my sister and I who laughed at it, so... It put a lot of
our friend next to me pointed it out. She's like, oh, that's the noise. I recognize that noise.
That was Peter Saad's joke, I believe. Put in the bra over Wally's eyes. Does anyone know if there are any other Pixar in-jokes in this film? Because I know the Pizza Planet truck is coming up when Eve arrives on the planet, and of course the A113 joke comes out later in the film. You see it on the Axiom, but does anyone know of any other in-jokes out here?
I believe later on when Wally builds a little sculpture for Eve, Luxo Jr. is part of the sculpture in some way.
Oh,
so
really?
We can have a look out for that. Yeah, no. But I can't think of much else. I'm sure there's plenty
there
that we've missed. I think it's quite strange how Wally doesn't actually know that it's a light in a way. Obviously, it's something that he hasn't seen before, but it's also like sort of almost animal-like, not being able to understand exactly what that is, but chasing it anyway.
Yeah, Andrews didn't mention that that very thing in the commentary. He said he just kind of made it like, you know how when you put like shed like a light in the floor or something, and the dog will look at it and chase it. They don't know what it is, and they'll kind of follow it around wherever you put it. It's kind of where he got the general idea.
I have to admit, I think this spaceship is probably one of the most beautiful I've ever seen in terms of just design. It's amazing just that they thought of something like this.
It is. It's very simple, but it's really cool looking. This ship landing scene is one that Andrew Stanton mentioned as one of those rare moments where it turned out exactly as he imagined it, which doesn't often happen with creative films like this, but this particular sequence here, it just turned out exactly as he saw it in his mind, or almost identical to how he saw it.
the designer Eve herself is kind of a reference to Apple, isn't it? In a way, kind of she almost looks like an Apple Mac in herself.
Yeah, like a computer or something. It's pretty cool.
Who is your favorite out of Eve and Wally, you guys?
Wally is my favorite.
I like Eve.
Wally has such a charming personality. It mirrors R2-D2, and I'm a very huge fan of the Star Wars films, so maybe that's why I connect to Wally a little more and like him more, but both characters are very appealing. It's amazing how many little intricacies are in these characters. Like, if you look at Eve, right underneath her head there's like a little ring of lights going around and around the inside of her body. So, you know, it gives the impression that maybe that's what allows her to hover in such a way. But little things like that, that they pay such attention to detail to, and you never notice it, you may not notice it the first time around, but later on when you do, it's just fascinating.
I love it when she breaks the sound barrier. It's this sort of really powerful moment there. That's a brilliant contrast in itself, something that seems so beautiful and so carefree and so natural suddenly starts trying to shoot at Wally.
I know.
That's definitely an aspect of Eve's personality that I really like, the fact that she can be a bit moody and a bit sort of, you don't really want to get on the wrong side of her.
I love that as well. She does have a split personality, and they show it in such a simple way. Is anyone else reminded of Alien, where they hear this music in the background? I know the music is turned off for this commentary, but if you turn it on, it sounds a lot like Alien, which is probably intentional.
See, Hal is a perfect example of Pixar genius, the fact that he has no face. He's not like Jiminy Cricket, which is obviously sort of a humanized cricket. He's a cockroach that looks like a cockroach and yet still has a personality.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a very simple character again, but, you know, like you said, they put so much personality into it and they make it cute without having to alter the design too much.
I think this scene's a very good example of how Pixar kind of changed the lighting and the direction of the film in comparison to their previous films. Because I think they hired a guy called Roger Deakins. I think I hope that's how to pronounce his surname. And they tried to light and shoot it in a way as though it's a live action movie, as opposed to an animated film, which would have certain sort of camera angles. They really wanted to make it feel as realistic as possible, and I think that really comes out.
It does, yeah. I do remember listening to that on the one of the documentaries, the second disc of the Wally DVD set, I believe. And yeah, like you said, they did get in Roger Deakins, and he really helped them to figure out how to work out the camera and how they would do certain shots and sequences, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's Luxo Jr. just there on the left.
Oh, I missed him. Oh, there he is. Never mind.
Really obvious Pizza Planet truck there.
Yeah.
So I believe this is the moment when we actually sort of hear the two characters speak for the first time. So this is actually technically the first speech of the entire film so far. And we're, what, sort of 22 minutes in? So that's pretty impressive.
It is. They managed to carry it all the way up to here, and when they do speak, it's just beautifully presented.
This is very iconic. I guess a lot of people have been saying, because I've spoken to a few people and they've said that they don't actually like the fact that the whole film is based on sort of Eve and Wally going, Wally! Eve! but I quite like it, really. I think that shows their sort of their connection, that simply saying each other's names, it kind of just means so much to them. Sort of nowadays, you know, people can say, oh, I love you, and it hardly even means anything. But just to say, you know, each other's names, and it means so much, it's something really special.
Exactly. I love it, too. It's very symbolic how just the fact that Wally wants to hold hands with Eve is his way of saying, I love you. You don't need any words to describe that. And, yeah, I've heard of some people who don't like the fact that pretty much the only two words that are said throughout the entire film are Wally and Eve, like you mentioned. But the very simplicity of that is what is intriguing, I think.
I think that Wally says Eva because he has to end every word or like with a vowel.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I think right there we sort of see a completely different, you know, how the two characters are so completely different to each other. On the one hand, Wally just collects these things, but doesn't really understand them. He just likes the look of them, and he likes sort of, you know, playing with them. But but Eve, on the other hand, has to kind of, you know, really explore them or do whatever she can with them and really kind of go the whole hog. And I guess that shows her kind of perfectionist side in a way.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah, Eve's just interested in knowing what everything does, and Wally does too, but Wally's more of a geek about it, I guess.
No one laughs when Eve tries to dance.
I
thought it was funny too, but when I saw it in the theater, it was completely quiet.
Really? Nobody laughed at it?
Actually, I agree. You're right. Nobody laughed when I went to see it.
I think it was just the opposite when I went to see it. Although people were pretty quiet during this particular Pixar film in comparison to all the others. I mean, even when I went to see Ratatouille, which is very adult in places, and compared to all the other Pixar films, which are more child-friendly, this one's just more dramatic and doesn't have as many humorous sequences. Even though it does have some, it doesn't have as many as the other Pixar films. So, at least when I went to see it, hardly anybody laughed, even in the humorous moments. I guess just because it was so dark.
People laughing during this moment, they seem to like Wally getting hurt. You know, that's fine.
Really?
Yeah, no, they... And the lighter here being a real symbol sort of throughout the film. I guess a symbol of their love for each other and how it kind of, you know, won't ever go out, and their longevity together, really.
It is. It's a very present symbol, and I actually didn't realize that Wally was carrying it with him throughout the entire film until, after I'd seen the film maybe 20 times or something.
Wow, you've seen it quite a few times.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many, but my sister watches it every morning, so
every
I see
morning.
It. But I never,
seriously?
I never.
Really,
she's a geek. So, Andrew Stanton, if you're listening to this, my sister loves your movie to death.
I think I've seen it probably about 4 or 5 times now, so. I like
that's
small
good.
Doses of Pixar, you know, little doses, you know, once every couple of months is fine for me.
It's kind of nice, though, because you're not overdoing it, you know, and then you notice something different every time. And
yeah. See, I wonder why Wally thinks that he should show the plant to Eve in particular. He's got so many things to show her, many, many things, and yet he purposefully sort of brings it out as though he knows he's found something special and unique. And something that he's never seen before. And probably thinks that she might just be impressed by it. Obviously, he isn't expecting this reaction, but...
Yeah, exactly.
That music just there always reminds me of the Titanic.
Really?
No idea what... Yeah, just like... I don't know what instrument it was. Kind of a pipey sort of sound. Really quite depressing.
Does it remind you of any particular sequence of Titanic, or just... the entire
film. When the guy drowns, maybe when he freezes to death.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's just as dramatic, so.
Yeah, I know, yeah. See, now how horrible must that be to have lived by yourself for 700 odd years and to finally meet somebody else, and after probably, a couple of hours, I guess?
I guess
so. Sort of shut away. Yeah, no, it must be horrible to have lost that person again, you know.
I know, the poor guy, he's there hundreds of years, and then he finally gets to meet somebody, and then she shuts down, and
so, yeah, there's one piece of music on the soundtrack that I don't like, it's this song.
Really?
It really irritates me. I know it's suited very well to... you know, what's going on and everything.
Is it just because that there's... I'm sorry.
Sorry, Karen.
Is it because that there's the addition of people singing in the background and there's a choir? And because most of the songs in WALL-E are just instrumental, but this particular one wasn't. So maybe that's...
might
see it out of place.
Yeah. It's like as though the humans are almost invading. They should be getting out. You know, this is a robot moment, not a human moment.
Yeah, you want them out of there. I liked it, though. Gosh, I just realized that the little plant symbol on Eve was blinking that entire time. Never even noticed that till now.
This bit always makes me cry. When WALL-E goes off and he thinks that Eve's gone forever.
The shot coming up here that I really like. Just a couple of seconds. That one right there. I love that.
There's real sadness to it, isn't there?
It is, and you don't need any words to describe it. It's just, they just hold the camera there for a few seconds and you know exactly what it's thinking without having to explain anything with barely any sound except the music in the background. I just love that particular shot for some reason.
See, before this shot, I always thought that Eve was unique, even though it's obvious that there was going to be lots of, you know, Eves on board the Axiom. It just sort of seems strange that there are more, really. Because obviously the one that we see is really special, to WALL-E, at least.
Yeah, I never even considered that there could be other Eves. I always just thought she was the only one until we see that there was more. I don't know. Why I thought she might have been the only one.
I think one of these satellites is Sputnik 1. He just thought that last one there, he just sort of waved off him. Which was the first man-made object to be placed in Earth orbit. So in a way, it's kind of hailing back to the idea of industrialization and sort of humans taking over.
Yeah.
Not letting the Earth sort of be natural anymore, since that was the first satellite, in a way, to invade space, if you like. This part always makes me laugh. The introduction of the Axiom is so dramatic, isn't it? The way they've arranged that, I think Nebula should be right there, almost protecting the Axiom.
It is. It's very dramatic. Reminds me of a video game for some reason.
I found out the name Axiom actually means, I thought I'd heard it in math at one point. It means something, unquestionable or taken for granted, which is quite interesting, I guess, considering, the fact that humans, in a way, don't really appreciate the axiom, do they? They kind of just live their lives and don't really think about it that much.
They do. They take it for granted, it seems.